people already thinking a lot about Christmas, apparently. It's 2 months away, and wish lists for Santa already filling up across government. One of them's an acquisition wish list. You can read it on federalnewsradio.com. It's from Keith Trippi. He is CEO of the Trippi Group, former executive director of the Enterprise System Development Office in the office of the Chief Information Officer at the Homeland Security Department. He explains why he's writing his list to Santa in the first place.
Francis, you've probably read 280 articles about acquisition over the past 10 years.
Past 10 days.
Any of them read a lot, you know, more fun than eating dry toast? Not many of them do. So I was trying to put this in a fun way of approaching a wish list that I think most federal folks would agree could help streamline providing value to the citizens.
So the value provision idea is something we explored all of this week in our special report, mm-hmm. and all the resources for the special report, Missing Pieces of Acquisition Reform, at federalnewsradio.com right now. I want to start, though, from understanding your worldview, because one of the people we talked to is Dan Gordon, and Dan Gordon comes at this from the idea that the acquisition process overall is not maybe as awful as we make it out to be sometimes. And I wonder if maybe we focus too much on what's not good at the expense of saying, you know, it's not terrible. Of course, there are things that could be better. Mm-hmm. Where are you coming from on that spectrum, I guess?
So I'm always coming at it from the customer perspective. And to me, the customers are the citizens and the customers are the folks, whether you're in IT or in the mission space. And I'm always going to come at it and say, what is the benchmark for how long it should take to deliver a set of capabilities? And my benchmark is the commercial sector, whether it's Silicon Valley or whether it's Coca-Cola or P&G, it doesn't matter to me. I look at what are their benchmarks and what it takes to come from a capability into a value offering. Mm-hmm. And those timelines, they really aren't that close.
Right.
There are different, I think, motivators. I think there are different regulations that constrain folks that are trying to deliver services that the commercial folks, they just simply don't have.
And I want to make sure that I'm clear. You're not wading into the running government like a business part of looking at the private sector or the commercial space. This is, well, you write about it here. You write, I want the same for the federal government. You're talking about some really cutting edge technologies. Mm-hmm. And you write, I want the same for the federal government, an at-home user experience with IT. It sounds like that's where you're focused and not the whole how we run government as a business or public, whatever.
Well,
right on that?
So let me break it into two. Running the government like a business will never happen.
Right.
Running the government more like a business is something that is a theme that's near and dear to my heart. The concept around the at-home user experience is, for the past 15 years, when I sit down at home on a computer, whether it's myself, a four-year-old kid, or whether it's my grandmother that's sitting there, there are new capabilities that show up on that screen that don't require training, that are quickly available to me, and I can flip from one to the other to the other. Unfortunately, when I leave that domain, that, if you will, augmented reality, and I head into the office, the government office, boring, boxy, it's not as fast, it doesn't present me with the same experience that I get from the at-home experience. So the hope here is the more innovation that we could bring into the government and the more quickly we can bring innovation into the government, it can transform the value that citizens and ultimately the service providers are providing.
You've got a number of really terrific innovative ideas in this piece on federalnewsradio.com, Keith, and we don't have time to talk about them all, so I want to just pick out a couple that jumped out at me. The first one is a federally compliant IT buffet table. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of a buffet table.
Sure.
What does that look like in an IT space?
Well, to me, what it looks like is the same thing you see when you walk into Ponderosa. Some nights you walk in, you want a little bit more fried chicken than you want hamburger meat.
Yes.
You've got that option.
Wonderful.
The whole point of a federal IT buffet table is choices. When you go to the gas station, you feel one way. When you go online and you're able to shop for a wide myriad of products, you feel completely different. And the concept here is, let's put a buffet table out that allows federal folks that are buying capabilities to quickly do an assessment of what they're looking for. Think TurboTax. Imagine a TurboTax-like capability that allowed a mission person to say, I've got users that are CONUS or OCONUS. They're in big buildings or small buildings. They work with healthcare data. They work with law enforcement data. And they answer these basic sets of questions. And then out the other side comes this very simple, here's your options. And whichever option I pick, I hit the provision button. It's provisioning. It already meets FedRAMP. It already meets cyber NIST requirements. Mm-hmm. It meets 508. It meets those things that we in the IT community spend a lot of time retrofitting to get to the standard that we're looking for. Just have it on the buffet table.
One of the reasons I like you is because you're pushy.
Yeah.
You write, recommendation, a federal agency just issue the first award and take a chance. Now, yeah. In an environment like we live in today, sure. with a zero defect mentality, mm-hmm. we're not going to get into the debate of where that came from, but mm-hmm. you have to admit that exists.
Yep.
How do you convince somebody, or how do I as a leader convince my team mm-hmm. that this is a wise move for us to take, knowing that it may not go right or may not go well the first time or two we try it, mm-hmm. but boy, is it going to be worth it once we get the system down on the,
sure.
long, in the long run.
Perfect question. And at the end of the day, it's a risk-based discussion. And I would counter that argument and say, how well are our procurements doing today? From a time to market, value to market, how much are we paying to go get these services available? You know, I am a little pushy, according to my wife. So what I would recommend we do is we take an agency, take a couple of million dollars, and set up this broker. It's not that complicated. You could write the business outcomes that you're looking for in less than one page. Turn the page over, write the technical outcomes and the compliance that you're looking for. Industry is ready for this. The first agency just needs to issue it and then share the results. I am all for a fully open and transparent, put it on social media, create a TV show for it, socialize what's working and what's not.
Keith Trippi of Trippi & Associates writing an acquisition wish list for Santa, and you can find it on federalnewsradio.com. We're hitting some of the highlights of this list. All right, this one, I have to confess, I had to dig into it and really read what you wrote before mm-hmm. I got the thrust of it. Top 10 software vendors based on federal sales get awarded a 5-year contract for all you can eat with 5% uplift over current total. Now, I know you and your colleagues in the acquisition contracting sphere get right. that, but break that out for me a little bit.
All right, let me keep this really simple. Here's the business problem around the software side. Mm-hmm. The amount of administrative overhead that happens on an annual basis on true-ups. True-ups is basically you had bought X amount of software the year before. This year you bought more, so at the end of the year you have to pay up, if you will. Tracking that is not easy. And then you have the negotiations that happen every 3 to 5 years on these software contracts. And then let me give you the operational reality. It took me 4 months on one project to move license keys. I'm not going to mention the software provider. License keys from an old environment to a new environment. Mm-hmm. Operationally, it worked. I couldn't get the logistics on the contract mechanics to move the license keys out of the old system and into the new system. And to beat it all, I had extra software license keys available to do that. Took me 4 months to resolve that problem.
And it should have taken you...
If I had the IT buffet table, it would have taken me no time at all.
Right.
If we'd have had this approach, and again, this idea, I would love to claim it. It is really out there. I heard it from a very large software company.
So they want to do it. They'll buy in.
One company mentioned that, and okay. they are pretty large, and I will absolutely not mention their name.
Yeah.
I would love it if this were my idea, but let's play this thing out. The dollars that are being spent today across the federal space for the software only buys a certain percentage mm-hmm. of their software. The amount of operational challenges that one I just mentioned is a small example, happens all the time. And then the administrative overhead, all of that goes away. Does a couple of things for the software vendors. For the next 5 years, they're guaranteed to make the same revenue with a 5% uptick over the next 5 years. They're able to communicate to their shareholders, I've got booked revenue coming. So they're comfortable with that. And it gives them a runway to move into a consumption model when more feds are going to be wanting to buy it as a service and only pay for what they use. Industry, specifically software companies, need that ramp up time. And that's why this idea benefits feds and industry in this model.
A bunch of ideas, as I mentioned in this piece, the last one we have time to talk about is I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm skeptical of implementation, Keith.
Sure.
I would allow all, this is you writing, I would allow all senior executive service members to order off a credit card up to $500,000. GS-15 is up to $250,000. Their call on who they chose to perform the work. Have them take training to ensure rules are followed and hold them accountable. This will significantly help programs get started while funding and larger contract actions get established. It could work. Mm-hmm. The one there, though, where I could see some stumbles is the part, have them take training to ensure rules are followed and hold them accountable. I mean, I would imagine they'll have to be very rigorous and very highly reviewed processes for both of those things in place before this can work.
So here's where I would counter that. I would say, yes, absolutely. The whole point about holding government folks accountable, this fits under that model. Two, the fact that I or other SESs have the ability to spend large amounts of money. When I say spend, I can commit the funds, but only the contracts officers were able to obligate the funds.
Yeah.
And on larger procurements, couldn't agree more. That responsibility should lie over there. But the benefit to being able to say that I do the market research, I am able to document my market research, and then I am able to go procure up to a certain threshold and hold me accountable if I violate any of the rules that are associated with that, I think that is fair. Now think of the business outcome downstream effect. No longer do I have to wait for potentially a year, two, maybe 3 years for the initial operating capability. I could take an augmented reality service and implement that and immediately benefit the law enforcement officers that may be out in the field during a command control situation during a hurricane. Immediately, they're able to have tools in front of them on their goggles, if you will, that they couldn't have had for maybe 2 years later. And if you're one of those folks that are in the middle of that incident, you would want them to have the best technologies to be able to respond. And this sort of ability gives immediate response for federal folks to be more responsive to the citizen needs.
All of these ideas that you talk about in this piece, who has to do them or who can do them at the autonomy authority level? Are these congressionally, are these things Congress has to get involved with, or are these things agencies can decide we're going to give this a shot?
Well, let me put it like this. Great question. So I would think that the authority around the credit cards is something that probably going to need some Hill support for. Pick the one about the IT buffet bill, needs zero congressional support, doesn't need OMB to weigh in. It takes an agency to write a one-page capability statement on the business outcome and the second on the technology and issue it out to industry to come back for a response. We don't need anything fancy from a regulatory perspective to do that. So I would argue most of these are things that can be done without specific regulation changes.